You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
132 First Nations have signed the Save the Fraser Declaration, opposing the movement of tar sands oil through their territories. Over 50 municipalities have voiced their concerns about tankers and pipelines crossing the province. Now, environmentalists, social justice activists, and First Nations are planning a day of action to defend the coast. Thousands of people will gather in Victoria on Monday to demand that governments respect First Nations land rights and listen to the voices of British Columbians. Ben West is a campaigner with the Wilderness Committee, and he joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Ben.
Hey, good morning.
Now, the action is a protest against the actions of both the BC and the federal government. Let's start with the BC government, Christy Clark. What approach is her government taking towards the pipelines and tankers?
Well, for quite a while, the current government has been on the fence. They have yet to really take a solid position. And basically the frame that they put forward is this idea that there's these five preconditions that should be met if the BC Liberal government would support these pipeline projects. And broadly speaking, it has largely come down to this discussion around financial compensation. The other conditions are around environmental concerns, First Nations being consulted, sort of world-leading technology, that sort of thing. But the lion's share of attention has gone to this idea of revenue sharing with Alberta, which has actually kind of sparked a response from many activists and others saying that this province is not for sale and that no amount of compensation would make these pipeline projects appropriate or acceptable.
Do you think this has struck a chord with BCers in general, that if we got that money, then that would make it all worthwhile?
Well, if you look at sort of the different arguments being used, when these five conditions came out, the polling showed very little movement in terms of people's willingness to support the project or their support of the BC Liberal government as it relates to this project. So, I don't think that's actually resonated with many people. Definitely the fact that there's not much in it for BC is something that strikes a chord, but, I don't think there's a magic kind of price point where all of a sudden people would say, okay, well, maybe this is a good idea.
Well, what's been the role of the federal government in this issue?
I mean, quite frankly, I think the federal government has acted like an industry lobby group. Our federal government has been, to say the least, bending over backwards to try to support these projects. They've been, echoing the talking points from industry and vice versa. I've actually put through in Bill C-38, the budget bill last year, a series of changes to environmental regulations that would, make it easier for these kind of projects to get approved. They've quote-unquote streamlined the environmental assessment process, making the process only 2 years long maximum to try to, help push these projects through, and have actually even provided a budget to go after environmental groups who are challenging these projects. And, and we're seeing these, groups get audited and then sort of attacked by the federal government with this whole new sort of funding envelope that they've got to focus attention on sort of going after their enemies in this particular campaign.
That'd be you guys, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Groups like Forest Ethics and David Suzuki Foundation and others have already, been subject to more strenuous auditing and are kind of regularly attacked. I mean, the Minister of Natural Resources at one point called environmental advocates and all those opposed to these pipelines radicals. There's been a lot of talk about, funding coming from American foundations, which is, totally ridiculous when you look at where the funding comes for these pipeline projects. It's all foreign funding, whether it be from China or the United States. I mean, we're talking about, big oil companies, largely American oil companies, who are benefiting from this.
What's planned for Monday in Victoria?
So Monday in Victoria is a rally and a sit-in. There's a civil disobedience portion of the day, which, it will probably be the biggest act of civil disobedience for a climate change-related issue in the history of Canada. That's what's anticipated anyway. And, and thousands of people have signed up to say that they would attend, which will probably be the biggest rally on a Monday afternoon in Victoria that I've ever heard of. So it's an opportunity for folks to to draw attention to concerns about both the Enbridge and Kinder Morgan pipelines, the two proposed tar sands oil pipelines through the province, and to stand with First Nations in solidarity. Interestingly, this rally is going to have representatives from major unions, as well as First Nations and environmentalists, along with some folks from the business community. So it's kind of not the usual suspects in a sense. Like it's a pretty big tent kind of coalition of folks from across the political spectrum who are coming together to show that really there's strong opposition to this pipeline. From a variety of sectors and for a variety of reasons.
So there's, as I understand it, two different parts to the action. As you said, there's a rally where people will not risk arrest, and then there's a sit-in where they will risk arrest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And my group will actually not be part of the arrestable part of the day, although we've been part of the meetings discussing the sort of the day overall. There's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, can't get arrested or don't want to get arrested, but support the civil disobedience or just are opposed to the pipeline. So there is a number of speakers throughout the day, live music and stuff. So there'll be largely it'll feel like and look like a rally, but there'll also be an action that's happening kind of right up at the steps of the legislature, which will be a potentially arrestable action. Really this is largely symbolic at this point, just trying to show, how willing folks are to sort of, take bold action to try to make the kind of change that's necessary, and showing, whoever is in the provincial government, come the end of the next election, that we expect them to stand up for and defend our coast.
Why do you think this form of action was chosen to go to the BC legislature and then to include this civil disobedience element of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's basically just an escalation of sort of the tactics that are being used in this campaign. For years now, we've been just doing sort of, outreach and rallies and doing town hall meetings, attending the environmental assessment meetings, doing all the sort of normal things that you would expect folks to do in a campaign. But that's just kind of getting closer and closer to the end of the joint review panel process for the Enbridge pipeline, and getting closer to the beginning of that same sort of process for the Kinder Morgan pipeline. And I think a lot of people are just getting fed up. Many people, in particular, senior citizens, it seems, actually come up to me at the end of, town hall meetings or events and say, it's pretty clear that our current federal government is not on side. What can be done? How can we put more pressure on? Is there some, tell me where, when and where I can sort of take a stronger kind of action? Where can I kind of, take this a step further? And I think many environmentalists and others who are working on these campaigns are having similar conversations. So, this was an idea that was kind of brought forward to give people that sort of an opportunity and to show the general public in the world, really, that we're willing to take that kind of bold action.
Now, you've been involved in the environmental movement for a while, and I've certainly been reporting on the environmental movement for a while. And this is, as you said, it's an unprecedented level of opposition to this particular project. Why this project?
Well, the movement of tar sands oil across BC into our coast, is, I think, affects a lot of different people for different reasons. There are those who are concerned about the Great Bear Rainforest and want to protect the Great Bear Rainforest. All of us love our coastline and feel a responsibility to protect that. But there's also a lot of people motivated by climate change, and that is really affecting many people. Some folks in the union movement are concerned about the export of raw resources. The fact that we're not refining this oil locally, for some, is a lot like the raw log export issue. And for many First Nations, this is a fundamental, land and title rights case. The fact that, they've stated their opposition, the federal government is trying to push it through, it strikes a chord for those who feel strongly that their land and title rights must be defended. So, it's really an issue of such large scale that it's striking a chord with many different constituency groups for different reasons, but it's bringing us all together, to try to to try to stop, you know, this big project. And I guess at some level, it's just a massive, massive project. Either one of Enbridge or Kinder Morgan pipelines, I mean, we're talking about billion-dollar projects, which in a pretty fundamental way, I think, would transform BC into a major export route for dirty tar sands oil. And, you know, given the significance of, you know, the need to get off fossil fuels, and the need to move in a more sustainable direction, it really feels like sort of a turning point moment, whether we allow these pipelines to go ahead or not. So I think, you know, that is definitely not lost on most folks who are sort of becoming more and more aware of this pipeline, and I think that's motivating people to kind of take this a step further.
How important is the role that First Nations people in BC or First Nations in BC have taken in this fight?
Well, I mean, in fact, if you look at most environmental, you know, big-scale environmental issues in the province, you know, the role of First Nations, you know, is really significant. You know, we're in unceded land. You know, the Supreme Court of Canada has repeatedly upheld the duty to consult and, you know, and the rights of First Nations people. And many of the successful environmental campaigns historically have been a success because of First Nations actively opposing these projects and using the land and title rights to oppose these projects. You know, so I think their role in this campaign is really critical. Of course, it's not just all up to First Nations. It's up to all of us as residents of BC to stand up and protect our land. And I think a big part of that is supporting First Nations in their land and title rights case.
How can people support the action if they can't make it to Victoria?
Well, I mean, one thing you can do is just help spread the word on Facebook and Twitter and email and, you know, over the phone, just basically to anybody who might be interested. But there's also on the 24th a distributed action, which is going to be a series of smaller actions outside the offices of provincial MLAs. And so that's happening a couple of days after the action in Victoria. And if you go to the defendourcoast.ca website, you'll actually see they've got a page set up now where you can see all the different actions that have been planned. So if there isn't, you know, if you can't get to Victoria, there might actually be a, you know, something that you can participate in your own neighborhood, or you could even, it's not too late to still plan something if you don't see something happening in your community.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me this morning, Ben. I know it's the morning of your AGM, and I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us.
Hey, my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Ben West. He's a campaigner with the Wilderness Committee. If you want to find out more about the Day of Action on Monday, you can go to defendourcoast.ca. There's also a call on that website if you can provide some kind of funding to help people who are going to Victoria with their travel costs or with their legal costs. If they do get arrested, then that's also the place to go, defendourcoast.ca.